pray together. Our Lord and our God, as we come this morning and we tackle a very difficult subject, one that's confused us for years and years, we ask that your Spirit would be present and give us understanding. We make our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. We've been spending this month of May in the topic or on the topic of prayer. We're going to conclude it next week when I'm talking about the most dangerous prayer that you can ever say. But this morning, if somebody was to ask me what is the biggest motivator for me to pray, the answer is fairly easy. And the answer is the motivation for me to pray is answered prayer. When I pray for healing for somebody and they get healed, that makes me want to pray more. If I pray for somebody who is far away from God to take a few steps closer towards God, that makes me want to pray a little bit more. If I pray for direction and it's revealed in some way, shape, or form, where God gives me the wisdom or somebody else the wisdom to be able to make some good decisions, that makes me want to pray even more. On the other hand, if somebody says, what's the biggest demotivator to praying? It's unanswered prayer. You pray maybe for days or weeks or months or years for something to happen, for something to change, maybe for somebody to come to faith in Christ. Never happens. At least it hasn't happened yet. You pray for somebody who is sick or somebody who's been ill for days or months or years and doesn't seem to have happened. You pray for guidance over and over and over again and seems like you got the silence of heaven in your corner. The mystery of unanswered prayer is a powerful one, because unanswered prayer can not only cripple our prayer life, it can also cripple our whole life and our Christian life. So this morning, I want us to take a look at this whole area of unanswered prayer. Not that I have all of the answers, because I don't, and nobody else does either. But we're going to take a look at how does God respond to our prayers, and what are some things that maybe are going on with those prayers or our prayer requests, and how is God involved in all of that? So we're going to sort of do that in the time that we have this morning. The first response that God gives to unanswered prayer is an obvious one. He says no. Usually he says no because the request isn't appropriate. Or maybe it's just a little bit off center from where he wants it to be. Now, I don't want you to feel like it's personal with you if you get a no response, because it's not. The Bible has lots of examples of people that ask for something from God or from Jesus, and they got no as a response. Let me give you some examples. Peter, James, and John were up on a mountaintop with Jesus one day, and they saw him be transformed from human Jesus to supernatural Jesus, to use that kind of a phrase. In other words, he went from just being a human being to being literally the Son of God, and they were able to see that in him. And Peter, all of them were scared to death, so to speak, but Peter, as Luke tells us, Peter was really scared. He had no clue what to say, but he says this. He says, Jesus, why don't we put three shelters up here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, the two guys that Jesus was talking with. And that way we can, and the point of him saying that was he wanted to sort of prolong the experience, sort of like, well, let's just camp out here on the mountain for a little bit, Jesus, so we can enjoy this time, a little kumbaya kind of time. Jesus hears that request and says, no, we're not going to do that. Why? Because I've got a lot of stuff to do. I've only have 3 years on this earth. I've got a lot of things to accomplish. So no, I don't have more time to spend up here on the mountain. Another time, James and John decided that they wanted to upgrade their seating assignments in heaven. So they go to Jesus, and they say to Jesus, we'd like to ask a favor of you. Yeah, what's that? We'd like to sit on your right and your left hand when you get into the kingdom of God. Now, sitting on the right and the left hand means that they wanted those seats of honor. It would be sort of like going to the owner of the Falcons and say, hey, can I sit with you in the owner's box? Well, Jesus takes a look at that or hears that request and he says, you know, I'm sorry. It's a nice thought, but I'm sorry, but that's not the way the kingdom of God works. Another time, the disciples were walking into a Samaritan village, and none of the Samaritans came out to greet them. Now, understand that in Middle Eastern culture, that was an inexcusable sin. Because in Middle Eastern culture, then as much as it is today, it's all about hospitality. And if you were a stranger walking into a town and you didn't know anybody, they didn't know you, they still welcomed you and made you hospitable, and they were still hospitable to you. But when the disciples are walking into the Samaritan town, nobody comes out to greet them. Nobody offers them any bread. Nobody offers them anything. Well, that's not really surprising, considering the Samaritans and the Jews hated each other. But the disciples were really offended by this. And so James and John go to Jesus, and they say, Jesus, should we pray and ask and rain down fire and destroy this village? And Jesus says, thanks for the offer, but no, we're not going to do that. In the Bible, on four different occasions, with four different people, Moses, Jeremiah, Elijah, and Jonah, all four of them, in very difficult, dark times in their life, asked God to take their lives. And God said, no, 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 no. It sort of makes you wonder that when they got through the other side of those dark times, if they weren't glad that God didn't answer that prayer. You know, there's a country song about all this. Garth Brooks, many years ago, wrote this song called Unanswered Prayer, and it's based on a true story. Maybe you remember it. I'm not going to sing it. But it's based on a true story that when Garth Brooks was in high school, he was madly, madly in love with this young woman and wanted to have her as his wife and love her for the rest of his life, but somehow that didn't work out. And so years later, he goes back to a football game in his old high school, and he sees the same woman now, and he looks at her, and he thinks to himself, what was I thinking? What was I thinking? And he goes on, he says, thank you, God, for unanswered prayer. And of course, one of the main lines in that whole song is one of God's greatest gifts is the gift of unanswered prayer. Have you ever had that experience where you've really wanted something and then you turn around later on and you go, wow, thank you. Of course, maybe you are somebody's unanswered prayer too, but I'm not asking you about that. The point is that it's fundamental to the character of God and to the nature of prayer that he reserves the right to be able to say no to our requests. I mean, I think that makes most of us, it's common sense to most of us. Because if he said yes to everybody, that would be a real disaster. In the movie Bruce Almighty, the lead character gets to play God for a day. He thinks it'll be fun. He thinks it'll be easy. And so he begins his day and he gets a few prayer requests, emails, faxes, cell phone calls, those kinds of things. And as they come in, he begins to think about each one of them. And it gives some time and some reflection about each one. But then as the day goes on, he's getting hundreds and then thousands and then hundreds of thousands and then probably millions of requests. And he realizes he doesn't have time to deal with all of them. So what he does is he just says yes to all of them. And it creates chaos all over the world. Why? Well, common sense tells you this, that people always use power for selfish reasons. They abuse it. We have a whole history of that. And secondly, people's prayer requests sometimes contradict one another. And so God has the right to say no to our prayer requests. And because he has the right to say no to our prayer requests, anybody who says that unanswered prayer proves that prayer doesn't work really hasn't thought very deeply about prayer, or they haven't seen the movie Bruce Almighty. Sometimes people in the church in particular, they think that if they can just use a magic formula that it's gonna work for them. You know, they can get God off. They can sort of force God to say yes. So they say, well, maybe if I just pray in Jesus' name, or maybe if I pray if it be your will, or maybe if I just claim it, you know, with a whole lot of faith and boldness, that will work. Or maybe if I get more than three people, maybe 1,000, then God seems to be, he has to do what I ask him to do. Folks, prayer is not a magic wand. It's not a magic formula. There's no magic formula to it. Prayer isn't that. What it is asking God, and hopefully you're asking God for things that are in line with His plan, His will, His purposes. So if you're getting a no, maybe it's because the request is off a bit. But maybe if you're also not getting a response right away, this moves us to the second response that God gives to us, and that is, it's time to slow down. In other words, the timing, the request is okay, but the timing is off. And maybe He wants you to grow. Maybe He's waiting for somebody else that's impacted by your prayer request to grow. But God is not saying no. He's just saying not yet. And again, there's a whole category of people in the Bible for which God said not yet. Abraham and Sarah had to wait 20 years before Isaac was born. Israel had to wait 40 years before they could get out of their wandering around in the wilderness. David had to wait his whole life because he kept on wanting to build a temple, a tabernacle for God. And God said, no, not yet. I'm going to give that responsibility to your son Solomon. Israel had to wait centuries for the Messiah. Sometimes the request is right, but the timing is just a little off. Isaiah said this, that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And what is the one word in that line that we hate? It's the word wait. We hate to wait. We get upset when it takes 30 seconds for our computer to boot up. But parents, you understand the importance of building character into your children. And part of that building character is to help them develop some patience, to delay gratification a little bit. So in order to do that, what do? In order to build patience in your children, do you give them everything they want when they want immediately? No, you don't. Well, if you can figure that out, I'm pretty sure God has figured that out as well. Peter put it like this, for the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. In other words, God is patient. He's patient, and He's going to use that period of waiting to do something. Oftentimes, what God wants to do in us as we wait is more important, or certainly as important, than that thing that we're waiting for. God uses that waiting period. There's an old saying that says that God is never late, but He's rarely early. And I want to tell you, as a bunch of Americans, that just frustrates us to no end. God's main goal for our life is not so much what we do as who we become. It's about spiritual maturity. Sometimes when we're praying, we're asking God to show us a sign. And when we ask God to do that, sometimes we're using prayer as a crutch. What I mean by that is this, that when we're praying and we're asking God for a sign, what we're asking Him for is, look, what we're telling God is, look, I don't want to go through all the hard work of having to make a decision. I just want you to give me an answer. I want you to send me an email or a fax or, you know, something in the sky. But I really don't want to have to go through the Bible reading and the prayer and the reflection and talking to other people that are godly and have good godly wisdom. I don't want to go through all that. That's tiring. It's exhausting. It's work. I don't want to be mature. I want to be just like a child. So just tell me the answer. But just like with patience, God realizes that giving you signs doesn't help you grow as a person. It doesn't help you grow spiritually. It's just one of those things. So maybe if you're not getting an answer right away, God is saying no, that the request is off track. Maybe He's saying not yet, that the timing isn't right. And maybe there's something in that request where He's waiting for you to grow. He's He's expecting some part of your character, some part of your personality to maybe change and mature a bit. Maybe he's waiting for somebody else in which your prayer impacts somebody else to sort of come along. We don't know. But he doesn't say no. He's just saying not yet. That's one of the reasons why he encourages us to keep knocking, to keep seeking all the time. Keep in touch with him and don't give up. Now, there's one more category, and this is the hardest one of all. This is that category where you're praying for something with pure motives and a pure heart, and it's not for you. And yet, all you're getting is the silence of heaven. It could be that you're praying for the infant son of friends of yours who's dying of cancer. It could be that you're praying for an adult friend who's been sick for years and don't seem to have any response. Maybe it's you're praying for a friend of yours who has all of these gifts and abilities but doesn't seem to be able to find a job. I think we've all been there at some point. We pray loud and long for somebody else. The motives are pure. The heart is pure. And yet there doesn't seem to be any response from God. There doesn't seem to be any answer or any direction forthcoming. I'm going to tell you, I don't have any answers for that. I don't know anybody who does have answers for that. But I can do this. I can point you to a person. Because at the heart of the gospel is an unanswered prayer. At the heart of the gospel is Jesus by himself, sweating blood in a garden, asking God, will you please let this suffering that I'm about to undergo on the cross go away? And what he got was silence. This is the prayer that was uttered by, it was the most desperate prayer ever uttered by the most discerning spirit that ever lived, by the purest heart that ever beat. And he's praying for relief from one of the most, probably the greatest injustice in all of the world. And yet the response he got was nothing. But from that unwanted suffering comes a hope of the world, a hope that remade the world. Because the ultimate answer to any kind of human anguish, the ultimate answer to our pain or our frustration is a sin-stained, blood-soaked cross where God himself died. Nobody has all the answers. But as I was thinking this week about this sermon, I thought about this question. What would have happened if God would have said yes to some of those very, very hard questions or some of those very, very hard prayers? What if he would have said yes to the nation of Israel? The nation of Israel had promised, God had promised that they would be a big nation and a powerful nation and a holy nation, and he gave them all these responsibilities and all these promises, and yet that's not what turned out for them. They ended up going into exile. They ended up, after a while, they just completely disbanded entirely as a nation. They were always under the thumb of another country, always being oppressed by a different leader. So what if God would have said yes to their prayer of, please don't send us into exile. Please don't let us be under the oppressive thumb of somebody else. What if he just allowed them to become this mammoth, powerful, wealthy country that where they could just keep their faith to themselves and where they didn't have to worry about spreading the faith to anybody else? A place where there weren't any prophets that were speaking out of their pain for this spiritual kingdom that was going to come later on. What would our story be like if God would have said yes to their prayer? What if Paul would have said, what if Jesus would have said yes to Paul, and when Paul said, can you please remove this thorn in my side, this thorn that shows your power in my weakness? What if God would have said, yes, I'm going to take that thorn away, and all of a sudden, Paul was representative of the power of human potential. The people would have been awed by his power, his gifts, his leadership, his speaking, and all those wonderful things that we like to say about ourselves. How would the New Testament and our faith have been impacted if Paul's message would have been a message of human greatness as opposed to my weakness is made, allows God's power to be made evident? What if God would have said yes to Jesus? And Jesus' prayer about allowing that suffering to go to disappear. There would have been no death. There would have been no cross. There would have been no resurrection. There would be no forgiveness of sins. There would be no Holy Spirit. There would be no church. There would certainly be no heaven. I don't know why some prayers get yes and some get no. I do know that I've personally felt the anguish of getting a no when I've really wanted yes more than anything else. I also know this. I know that when God said no to his son about the cross, he was saying yes to everybody else that ever lived. That shows the love of God. And ultimately, that is the comfort that comes when we don't understand unanswered prayer. Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, we come today and we acknowledge that there's a lot of aches and there's a lot of pain in this room. There's things that we've been praying for years, and we don't feel like we're getting any traction with you. Could be a dream, it could be a disappointment, could be a problem with our health or the health of somebody we love, it could be our finances, it could be work, it could be somebody that we lost, it could be a friend, a loved one who is far away from you. Lord, we pray that you would help us to be content, knowing that you love us, knowing that you hold us in the palm of your hand, and knowing that you will never betray us or forsake us. But Lord, we also pray and ask for healing. Healing for our souls, healing for our spirits. And we make this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.